Welcome back to Raised in the Shaw. We've got Mario Herrera with us, U.S. Marine veteran, hunter, cook. We had started the show, and you were talking about your heritage. You're from Jalisco, Mexico, and that's a lot of motive for a lot of U.S. citizens. You've been very, and are, and continue to be very involved in the minority community. You teach classes. Gracias. Bienvenido. Welcome to the show. You also.
Dime is a dime.
What is your take on
she won't mind tell me how long.
The Latino community, the African American community, the utilization of the outdoor for the
can I get you now?
What can we do as a state to encourage the use of conservation in Wisconsin?
So I would say that, especially with I do teach consulting classes in Spanish, and this kind of rolled out almost by accident, because I would have friends that would reach out to me like, oh, Mario, I want to get my concealed carry license. Could you teach me that? And all they really wanted was their, you know, their certificate of certification that allows for them to apply for it. So I would teach them privately. And then I started getting a lot of people that would reach out to me, and they were like, Mario, nobody that does this speaks Spanish. So there's no way for us. And, you know, you have a lot of, you know, a lot of Puerto Ricans in Milwaukee. Puerto Rico is an American territory.
Holding.
Yeah. So Puerto Ricans are American citizens, but they predominantly speak Spanish, and they don't have access to Spanish-speaking instructors. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start teaching these classes in Spanish. And I told one of the, you know, there's actually the Dance Academy of Mexico, my second plug of the day. If you want to learn a traditional Mexican dance, there's another spot to go. But they allow me to use their classroom. So every Saturday, I transform the Dance Academy of Mexico into a classroom, and that's where I teach the classes. And so there's when it comes to firearms, whether it would be for hunting or self-defense, especially when you go into, you know, neighborhoods like the south side of Milwaukee, you have this notion that firearms are predominantly for bad people. And there's always a conflation between legal gun owners and illegal gun owners, because the reality is that people that purchase guns because they want to do bad things are not going to follow the rules. And who tends to be the victim of these bad guys? It's people that live in those communities. So I've been getting a lot of Spanish-speaking people saying, I want to familiarize myself with guns. I would like to start hunting. You know, I came from Mexico where we processed and killed all of our food. So they're used to it, but then they come to the United States and it seems like there's no resources for them to really get involved. So the want is there, but the resources aren't necessarily there. And I found that my role in life, just like I would say that yours would be helping people get involved into hunting, mine essentially has been, I want to turn as many people as possible into their own personal first responder. And the more I talk to people, the more they start telling me, Mario, I want to get into hunting. Mario, I want to become comfortable with firearms. Mario, I want to protect my family. And it becomes a positive thing rather than the negative that they have been exposed to because of where they live.
Is the language barrier a real barrier that we need to address better in the state of Wisconsin when we're trying to offer the opportunities to hunt to everybody who is a citizen of the state?
Well, let's remove the language barrier, and I'm going to complicate this to kind of help you understand how difficult this is. So if I am teaching a class to somebody that's never been around firearms, and I'm like, all right, well, so first thing you want to do is, you know, you want to grab the slide, and then you want to, you know, you want to rack it back, and then you're going to charge around. And they're like, we don't know what any of this means. Like, we've never even handled a firearm. No one's ever taught me, and now I'm using jargon specific to firearms, and it completely loses people. Now, try doing that in Spanish, where all of the words that are used to describe anything related to firearms are predominantly taught in English. So even if you do have an instructor that speaks Spanish, you know, tell him, explain to me the functions of a firearm. And they're like, so I actually had to reteach myself the functions and the operations of a firearm just so that I can convey it. And I'm fluent in Spanish. And I had to relearn everything I knew about firearms just so that I could convey it. So it's harder than you would think, just because there's it's hard to convey something to a first time gun owner, then alone to do it in a different language, it becomes even harder.
But it's got to be incredibly satisfying. Do you see, are you there at that moment when you see the light bulb go on?
Oh my God, I've got it. So I'll share a story with you. I had I've been having a lot of teachers that have been coming to my classes that have never even touched firearms, and they always sit in the back, and I can always tell who they are because they're, you know, they're nervous, but they want to know how they could better protect themselves. So they'll come in with an open mind, but they still haven't really adopted the concept of personal use of a firearm. And then slowly throughout the course, they start becoming more comfortable. And then I'll see them nodding their heads in agreement. And the first thing I do is I go over the universal safety rules. And if I demonstrate anything with a live firearm, I use plastic bullets, but I show everybody, these are the plastic bullets. And I tell them, if I'm going to show you, show anything with a firearm, I need at least two people to verify that this is safe. I know it's safe, but you don't. And we don't want to Alec Baldwin anybody here. So everyone, and I wouldn't, because I would never point a firearm at anyone, even if there's plastic rounds in it. And they slowly start becoming more comfortable because they go, okay, this guy takes safety very serious. And then I've got yellow guns that I use. They're plastic. They're props. So if I'm teaching them how to hold it, or if I'm teaching it them, the proper stance, I use that yellow gun. And what do? I still ask for two people to come verify that plastic yellow gun is safe. And they'll laugh because I do it. But I tell them, I'm like, look how at ease everyone is, yeah, seeing how serious I take everyone's safety here. And it helps break them down, and they become receptive, and they start asking questions. And little by little, they leave that place knowing that they are better prepared to at least take the first steps to protect themselves. And it is so rewarding.
Or to enter the woods. And I will say, in life, we're always very uncomfortable with something until we're comfortable with it. Now, that sounds kind of cliche, but you're uncomfortable with something you don't understand or don't know or haven't learned. And when it comes to firearm handling and safety, we're talking about something that has the ability to take a life. So you can't be too serious about it. And I can't imagine what it would be like to try to learn about something that is as serious as a firearm. And if I went into a class to learn about it for the very first time, and it was being taught in a language I didn't understand. So the question that comes to mind to me is, what do we need to do better in this state to have a comfort level, not only across, because look, you can contact the DNR and get regulations for hunting in Hmong or Spanish, or you can get them in Chinese or Japanese. You can get them in different languages. That part is easy. That part is, you know, that's easy. That doesn't make somebody comfortable with actually getting out into the woods and utilizing the resource. How do we become better as a state and better stewards, people like us who want to get new hunters into the outdoors of Wisconsin? What do we need to do to become better at that?
All right, so this is going to be my second call to action. If you do speak Spanish, if you are a hunter, invite others and teach them, because they are going to learn from somebody that does hunt, that knows the language, and here's where I'm going to voluntell Joel that he's going to be a part of this. Take them out on a hunting trip. Have somebody that, that can break that language barrier. And ultimately, it should be a domino effect where they are now teaching people how to use the language.
I think that's fantastic advice. Gosh, again, the hour's just flown by. Mario Herrera is here. He teaches consent care classes. He's also a great cook. We're going to talk about some other recipes when he comes back and wrap up this hour. You're listening to Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Playfish. This is 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw. We'll be right back.
Hesitation shoes, you know, lawn, I got them. Hesitation blues, tell me.